Hi everyone, it's Roger and Matt here from the Disc Kingdom Podcast. In this week's episode, we're going to be talking about three different things. We're going to be talking about the Sith Trooper toy reveal and all the bits that came along with that for the upcoming movie, Star Wars Rise of Skywalker. We're also going to be talking about Star Wars Galaxy's Edge, the new rider that they've announced, and what might be the reason for those dates. And then we're also going to be talking about San Diego Comic-Con, which is coming up next week. So, but before we go any further, make sure you do hit that subscribe button. Go check us out over at DiscKingdom.com. And also, go check us out over at whatsondisneyplus.com. We've got a YouTube channel with a podcast that me and James do on there as well, where we talk about all the Disney Plus news. So, let's jump into our first topic, which has to be really Star Wars Galaxy's Edge. It has been announced that we're going to get the new attraction, is it Rise of the Resistance? Going to be opening up in Walt Disney World first. I'm just going to double check the date for us.
I think it's December 5th. It's on
December the 5th.
Birthday.
In Walt Disney World. Following up on Friday, January the 17th in Disneyland. This has kind of got everyone a little bit worked up for a number of different reasons. First off, why this ride wasn't ready for when the park opened. Well, Galaxy's Edge opened up, what, about 3-4 weeks ago now?
Yeah, almost a month.
Yeah, so we're talking now of that by the time that one opens up, it's going to be well into 6 months afterwards. A lot of reasons for that. Obviously, building it is going to be a big issue.
Yeah, new technology.
New technology. Disney World is a little bit different because that doesn't open until August 30th.
Yes, 30th. And also because their vehicles operate on Wi-Fi signals and they've had less trouble with it in Florida because it's not directly in the city like Disneyland is, because I think the reason it got delayed is probably because of those signals. It's harder to control in Anaheim compared to Orlando.
Right, so I now, with my tinfoil hat on, have an entirely different reason why I think this one has been held back, until especially in Disneyland, until after Christmas, until January the 17th, because they do not want a soft Disneyland experience for people around Christmas. They've been suffering from problems at the parks here already in June. There was not as many people going there as they should have been. People were saying you could just walk around because people were avoiding going to Disneyland because of Galaxy's Edge. Because all we've heard for the past year or two is it's going to be crazy, it's going to be stupid, don't go there, wait till it's done, also wait for the second ride. So there's that. There's the other issue, the same things happening over in Walt Disney World. Bookings are extremely soft for September and October. We even saw a really good deal for us to fly out there. It was like half the price with all in, all your food, all your parks. I decided not to do it because the last minute holiday to Florida is not the cheapest things to do.
Yeah.
But we've really saw some really great bargains. And I think they've pushed the Disneyland one back to make sure that they get a decent holiday season at Disneyland to make sure they don't lose anyone going there. A little bit different for Florida because I think it's already booked in, but then that park is then ready. It's ready to go, and it might encourage people to go. And I think Disney World is probably going to be busy around Christmas time.
It's going to be hurricane season too, so I think that's why there's all those sales, because those are the months that are the hardest for them because everybody's scared of those Florida hurricanes and the storms.
I mean, I usually go sort of September, October. That's when I would usually go. Tail end of the hurricane season. We've never seen deals that were coming up like that. And they're all reporting it. A number of different sites are reporting on how light the rooms are and how light the tickets are for September and October.
Especially with Epcot going in heavy construction mode. That's not helping either.
No, I just think there's a lot of people that are thinking, I'll go later. And waiting for this. I think the second
especially attraction with Avatar and Toy Story, those were busy as heck.
Yeah, I would almost say everyone's like learnt, and if you're a regular, then it's different. But if you're going maybe once a year and you're thinking, I'll go when, especially we knew that this second ride wasn't going to be opening up straight away, it makes sense for them to do the way they've done it. Mm-hmm. I think once both parks have got everything up and running by the end of January, you're going to start seeing it getting busier again, and people kind of knowing that it's safe to go, knowing that it's somewhere you can go in and have two attractions. You've got the whole area. I can't wait to see it. But I know there was that kind of feeling of going, oh, I'll wait till, you know, I'll wait. Because you don't want to see half the experience. It's a bit like if they opened up Pandora, but they only had the the riverboat journey. I mean, if they did it the other way around,
that was disappointing.
Yeah, I think if they did it the other way around, no one would have noticed. But I think if they had it that way around, like we say, Toy Story Mania or Toy Story Land and also the Pandora area, we know have had major issues with them opening up and just having major problems with people coming in. And I think that is obviously a key thing, which I personally think of why they've avoided Christmas for Disneyland rather than any of the issues. I think that's just they want to make, they're a bit soft, and so they've pushed it back out the way of Christmas, and so into a slightly quieter time.
And also, Disneyland has been having really low crowds also because we just blocked off 80% of our crowd that were customer base, because in Disneyland, unlike Florida, it's mostly all annual pass holders and locals that go all the time, not tourists.
Yeah, I mean, I think the other big issue is they've blocked a lot of people out because I think they were overestimating how busy it was going to be. And that happens a lot. That happens, you know, they went very aggressive on trying to block people out. I mean, and trying to make sure that it was an experience. Trouble is, it's kind of gone the exact opposite way where they got that message out.
I remember we blocked out dates when Pixar Place opened.
Yeah. Yeah, it's understandable what's going on. This whole thing about Galaxy's Edge being a flop, because there's already all these talk about on it online and stuff. Personally, way too early. You know, we're talking weeks into it. Let's see what this place looks like when the dates are off, when both rides are open. Let's see what's going on. Is it going to be a hit? Are the rides bringing people in? I just feel like Disney went so tight on trying to make sure that it wasn't crazy. They went maybe a little bit too tight and have pushed people out that would normally go. And I think that's what might be an issue. I think this time next year, very different story for Galaxy's Edge, especially as it goes forward.
Yeah, just a reminder, Disney World was not a hit when it first opened. It took months for them to get big crowds. Disneyland, same thing happened. Black Friday happened. It was a disaster. Yeah. Then it got better.
Yeah, I honestly feel like it's primarily just the message got out to avoid it because of crowds and the second attraction not being ready. And I think people were just holding out. And I think that message got out. And because of those other areas, people are just, and also those, like I say, those blackout events, blackout dates on annual passes haven't helped either, kind of keeping the, like I say, there is a difference between the two parks, but think Disney World, why they've pulled it, you know, why it's opening there. And also as well, there's this whole thing about why Disneyland are getting after Disney World and they're only just opening up. It's like, well, Disneyland had it first, so Disney World are going to get the bump for this new attraction. You're talking about barely just over 5 weeks. Someone had to have it first. Ideally, it would have been nice if they both opened on the same day in both places. But there again, they would have had that whole PR spin of trying to get that in where they're going. I can see why they didn't do it. I think they should have done it. I think it was to, but I think they've pushed Disneyland out the way of Christmas just to make sure that it is busy there. Okay, so now let's move on to our next topic. So let's now talk about the new Sith Trooper, which was announced by Disney this week. We saw tons of different merchandise. We saw loads of bits and pieces. We saw Lego sets, action figures, pop vinyls, T-shirts, all kinds of stuff. And this new Sith Trooper, just a trooper, bright red. All of the merchandise is going to be coming out, obviously, just before all the Rise of the Skywalker merchandise hits, which, obviously, we've got that Triple Force Friday coming in the beginning of October. We're going to be getting all the news about all the new toys for the new movie, the new video game, and also the Mandalorian. But what did you see there that caught your eye?
Honestly, not that much, because I'm not even sure what a Sith Trooper even is. I've heard rumors that it's supposed to be like Kylo Ren in disguise or something.
Mm. It's difficult because it's funny because I read a book last year while I was on vacation, and it was one with, I think it was the Captain Phasma book, and there was a commander who had their suit completely in red. So this is not the first time I've actually seen this happen before. We've seen different variations of like red ones before, but this almost feels like this is like, is it their special guard? It's also a great way of selling a load of more merchandise. If you take all your white figures, make them red, resell them. The Sith Trooper, you know, not necessarily means they might be in red, or it could just be that Kylo was in charge. He's put all his mates that had the Force and put them all into Stormtrooper stuff. Or maybe he just doesn't like the white anymore. We don't really know, but I'll be honest, I think these look really cool. I love the look of them. And yeah, just can't wait to see where they go with this one.
Hopefully they do something better than what we did with Captain Phasma. What a disappointment.
Yeah, she really didn't go. I'm hoping in some way there's an army of these. And, you know, these are like the elite. You know, like in we had in Rogue One where we have the Imperial ones. They're all in the black suit. And yeah, they follow credit. You know, they are like the elite ones. I'm really hoping we see that because they're pretty cool. And yeah, as someone who plays a lot of tabletop games with Star Wars Stormtroopers, I'd love to have, you know, we were there the other night and one of the guys had a red one and I go, oh, you've already got your Sith Troopers ready. And everyone was laughing, going, yeah, this is like, yeah, you just know they're going to end up selling these again. And you're going to have all the different merchandise. Love the few things. Wasn't too keen on the Lego set, but loving the Hasbro Black Series, they're always really cool. The Pop Vinyl as well.
I also remember there was a gold one in the newest Star Wars cartoon. They have like a new kind of Stormtrooper First Order that are like gold or yellow. Yeah. I'm not sure.
Yeah. Let's be honest. They're only doing it for merchandise. That's the primary reason they're doing it.
It's G.I. Joe all over again.
Yeah. Just put them in a different outfit and that will work. So that's always a cool thing. But let us know in the comments below what you think of this new Sith Trooper. I think they look cool, but love to know your thoughts. Okay, let's move now on to the final topic of the week, which is the San Diego Comic-Con, taking place next week on Saturday in San Diego. Lots of stuff coming there. We do know we're going to be getting lots of Marvel content. We know there's going to be a big hour and a half presentation where they're going through all of the different movies from Phase 4. Me and James had a full-on discussion on the What's on Disney Plus podcast about this as well. But I just wanted to hear, Matt, what are you predicting from the new Marvel
I'm predicting they're going to talk about this new event they have for the comics where it's like, it's basically a ripoff of Deceased, where it's like a viral infection going on in New York affecting heroes and other people, and they have, and it's like this new like cosmic virus or something like that. And it's affecting, it's going to be focusing on the Defenders characters.
Well, that's cool. It'd be nice to see them kind of do something a little bit different rather than just doing the same ones.
For animation, my prediction is that we're going to get a new trailer for Frozen.
Yeah.
And for TV animation, we're going to get something big at the DuckTales panel because Dana Terrence, who was a former writer and director on season one, who has the Howl House show coming out sometime this year. She said she's going to be at the DuckTales panel for something secret, something big. So either there's going to be a crossover between DuckTales and Howl House, or we're going to see a potential like cameos from the different Disney shows, because why would the creator of another show be at the DuckTales panel? There has to be something happening.
Hopefully, maybe it's just a new trailer. I don't think that'd be a bad idea from Disney's point, because they're really not putting a lot of effort into San Diego Comic-Con this year. Marvel's different because of the D23 Expo taking place in August. Like you say, the only bit
like,
really
fun. Everyone's backing out. Like Warner Brothers is not there. Universal's not there. I think even DC's not there.
I think the problem is these events are going on constantly. I think as well as that is expectations are so high. What do they actually get out of it? So many companies are announcing stuff there that it gets a little bit lost in the shuffle. So therefore, if Disney put out something about like the DuckTales, it might be less likely to get lost in the shuffle because that will get picked up by what they need to. But they're really not going to be putting too much effort in. Marvel's just going to grab all the attention. I definitely think DC at the minute are all over the place. They don't really know what direction they're going in, whereas Marvel are about to just kick it up a gear. I was a bit surprised when Marvel didn't announce initially that Marvel Studios was going to be doing a presentation.
Yeah, I am surprised they're even going.
I'm not surprised they are going there, because I feel like at the D23 Expo, there's going to be so much news about theme parks and other things, and they can still show stuff off. But Comic-Con gives them that PRB, and they're going to own this San Diego Comic-Con. When that panel comes out, nothing else from that show is going to get a look in, because they are going to dominate that weekend. And it kind of is primarily aimed at comic book fans. They have really managed to grab that weekend. Whereas if they do the D23 one, you've got Star Wars, Disney, the Fox, all the rest of it. Same thing for DuckTales. I think they've got a nice little opportunity to kind of make the most of having.
Yeah. I remember last year they accidentally leaked pictures. I think the producer was on his computer trying to access the trailer, and he accidentally spoiled a couple of characters because he had them in a folder in an image. So we had like our first glimpse of Darkwing Duck and the Free Caballeros. Yeah. And everyone's predicting that he's going to do it on purpose this year, going to pretend to accidentally open these images up.
I would say that wasn't a mistake. You know, you don't accidentally leak that stuff. I think as well, we're not going to see anything Star Wars. We might see a few bits. There's a few people like announcing bits and pieces, but
I believe Marvel Animation has a panel, I think.
Yeah. I think they've got a panel they're going to be going through. So hopefully we get an idea of what they're up to.
Like, I know Spider-Man has season 3 coming out. So that's going to be Venom-focused. But the other shows, I have no idea. Like, I don't even know if Avengers or Guardians of the Galaxy is even continuing.
I don't know. But also, as well, you've got the new Marvel animations on Hulu. And you've also got the ones that from, obviously, Disney+. You've got things like The Offenders.
So you got
a few other things that they could very easily tease into
that What If show. I forgot about that.
So that could be cool. Obviously, as well, we've got the video games. So we are going to be getting some more information, obviously, on the new Ultimate Alliance 3, which is coming out.
No doubt it's going to be the final characters that are going to be shown.
Yeah, I mean, that comes out next week on the Nintendo Switch. We've also got, I think there's a presentation from the Avengers, but it's not being live streamed. And also, we've got other bits and pieces. There'll be a few other bits and pieces coming in with regards to other things. It's a little bit of an odd one. We've got a couple of Marvel games, so I'm really excited to see where we go with that one. I'm kind of going into this San Diego Comic-Con, and the only thing I'm really interested in is what Marvel movies are next. Everything else all just feels a little bit like, yeah, okay, they're putting a little bit in. But I think there's almost so many events now per year that they really don't want to be kind of going.
Yeah, especially D23 too. So it's going to be weird having Comic-Con, and then we're going to have D23 the next month with even more info.
Yeah, I think definitely with the D23 one, I think it makes sense of why they're keeping a lot of the things back for it. But Marvel, I think that they will own that beat, and it will get it all out the way before D23, so then they can show off a little bit more, because that the D23 they're showing off so much other stuff. Maybe they didn't want Marvel overshadowing what everything else that the company's putting out, because we're going to get theme park news, we're going to be getting
animation, we're going to get all the animated movies that are coming out after Frozen.
Yeah, it should be fun to see what's going on, but I'm definitely excited to see what goes on with San Diego Comic-Con. But each year I'm getting less and less inclined.
I don't even bother checking out the news that much, because it's always the same thing. It's always something pop culture, like something Rick and Morty, something Simpsons, something big crossover somewhere, and the usual Marvel or DC like 25 issue super events that goes on every year now. It's just tiring.
I think that's the problem as well. I mean, I know they're definitely with some of the merchandise, seeing what's coming out, I'm thinking they are looking at it going, well, is this going to be good enough to sell outside of San Diego Comic-Con? Do we want to make it an exclusive? The fact that all the pop vinyls and stuff are available at all the different retailers.
Yeah, I think the Optimus Prime Ghostbusters figure that's exclusive at Comic-Con is going to be an exclusive at Fan Expo in Toronto next month.
Yeah, so, a lot of this stuff kind of, and it makes sense, because while, San Diego Comic-Con, great for people in America and traveling to it, but if you've got one in Canada, I know they shared some stuff with events over here. It kind of makes sense to spread them out a little bit, because people that are maybe going to a show in Toronto aren't going to make all the way down to
San Diego Comic-Con. I'm just going to stick to Toronto. It's less expensive.
Yeah, same thing for me, if London has a Comic-Con or something like that, it's... But if they can sell it there as well, they slap that sticker on it. But this year they definitely seem to have worked out now that a lot of it is just variants. They don't want to waste something really good there. I mean, like Lego and stuff and the Funko ones. There's been a few things, but nothing really caught my eye of where I was going. I must have that thing. And I think we are seeing a lot less of it because the queues and the people are all kind of getting...
And the Funko lottery or whatever it is. Like, be sure to be there before the convention starts to get your number so you can get in. Oh, whoops, sorry. Looks like someone took advantage of it and all the scappers are there first.
Yeah, and I think that's the big problem. And I think there's a lot of people have been burnt and a lot of people have kind of... I think it's unfortunately that the industry has moved in that direction and people are faster and no matter which way they do it. And if they put too many of them out, they're not exclusive, they're not desirable, and then they don't want them. So who knows? It's all a bit things, but let us know what you are excited about for San Diego Comic-Con. Let us know in the comments below. Anyway, guys, thank you very much for joining us this week. And we shall see you guys in another video soon. So remember to go check us out over at DizKingdom.com. Like, follow, and subscribe. And Matt, where can they find you?
You can find me on my personal YouTube channel, which is my name, my Philip Law. I do travel vlogs there, and sometimes I do reviews.
And on that note, guys, thank you very much for joining us. We'll be back soon. Laters.
Later.